Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my sins unto the Lord.
And offering your sin iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, and poor sinful me.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. We worship thee, we glorify thee.
Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works may of thee be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Catechism, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The Apostles' Creed, the first article. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses. And still preserves them. Also, clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods. That he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. That he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all which it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, reading from verse 9 through verse 16. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord, thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive, exile, hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divideth the sea, whose waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Here ends our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for this morning from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, reading from verse 9 through verse 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And our epistle reading.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
gospel reading, Matthew's gospel, chapter 9, verses 18 1 through 26. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verse 18. Matthew writes, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" Please be seated. The old expression, I think, is where there's life, there's hope. Isn't that how it goes? Some question here whether there's life or not. But hope, there clearly is. The reason I say there's question is because this account is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Our English translation of Matthew here says, "The ruler came and said, 'My daughter just died.'" That's not quite the way we get it in the English translation of what Mark and Luke say. Mark says, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." And Luke simply says, "She was dying." Now there's several possibilities for this difference, and I'm sure that one or the other is correct. I'm going to mention just one, just to point out that in our English translation, we get some, can easily come up with some variations. The word that we have translated as "just died" here in Matthew's gospel is not the normal, regular word we get for death and dying. Well, what its normal intent is completion, even perfection, finished, if you will. The root word that Matthew uses here is the same root word that Paul writes in 2 Timothy, where he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race." Used as it is here in Matthew, it does, obviously, especially in the context, mean death sometimes. For example, Jacob went down to Egypt and died and was buried. It's that word here. Jacob went down to Egypt and finished. Obviously it means he died, right? Because they said he was buried. So at any rate, that's one of the possibilities for this problem, if you will. But I don't see it as a problem, because it doesn't make any difference at all to the message of God's word that this text brings across to us. That message begins with the idea that for Jairus, the name that we get from the other two gospel writers, for Jairus, Jesus is his last desperate hope to see his daughter grow up. Where does he get that hope? Well, from things that Jesus has done that tell people who Jesus is. Before this, Matthew has recorded a couple of things in a fairly close context. He has calmed a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee simply by saying, "Be quiet." So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" By the way, I would translate that, "listen to him." Another problem in my head. And then Matthew also records a little bit ahead of our text that Jesus, talking to a man who had been brought to him on a stretcher because he was a paralytic, said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." Now that raised some objections.
After all, who but God can forgive sins? And Jesus says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. News is getting around about this Jesus. Maybe we don't need to wonder too much how Jesus has become Jairus' last desperate hope. And so, Matthew tells us, so Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. But then comes an interruption. Suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And so we get that story. And there too, there's some variation between this account and the two from Mark and Luke. Simply that they tell us a little bit more about it than he does. And by the way, Luther, preaching on this text on the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, over 500 years ago, brought in the other two accounts because he thought it was important. This woman, says Luke, had what we would call an apparently hopeless medical condition. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. Then went to medical insurance, house, car, and all of it. Last desperate hope is Jesus. She thinks in her own mind, as Matthew told us, if I can but touch his garment, I will be healed. And then happens what Matthew doesn't record. The crowd is pressing around Jesus. He's enveloped in a crowd. And Jesus says, who touched me? And Peter and the disciples say, what? Who touched you? You're being pressed by a crowd. What do you mean? And Jesus says, somebody touched me. I perceive power going out from me. He forces a confession out of this woman. This from Luke. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. This from that sermon by Luther that I told you about. The Lord did all this because this woman's faith was acceptable to him, which he desired to make known to all people. For he desires nothing more than that a man trust and believe in him. Your faith has made you well, says Jesus. And Luther has this to say. It was also done for the sake of the ruler, to confirm his faith by this miracle and transition. When does last desperate hope become faith? The Lord knows. For Jairus, his hope is fulfilled. Jesus comes into the house, says the girl's not dead, but sleeping. And of course, they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose. To him who raises a dead girl to life, her death is but a sleep. His death, the agony of crucifixion as a criminal, is the wages
of your sin and mine. His resurrection, in his resurrection, death becomes life. He is our hope in life and in death. With serious life-threatening illness, we, like the woman in our text, bring our hope for our loved ones, for ourselves, praying that he would extend our life with those we love here in town. But knowing that if the race here is finished for us, then death will be but asleep. He is our hope. His death is death's defeat. His resurrection is life eternal. Paul writes, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where there's life, there's hope. He is our hope. And where he is, there is life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning asking you to keep Pastor Platt and the two parishes to which he has calls in your care. Help him, guide him in his deliberation in the choice of which you would have him serve. We ask that in that decision, thy will be done. Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast, which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of the holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake.
Amen.
Amen.
Be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
That we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord, and in the confession of the only true God we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Amen. will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, given for you. Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Yeah.
Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for all of your sins.
Love.